little disclaimer that I, Mystic, am an employee of Wizards of the Coast on the D&D team.
Last time on Utopia Podcast, the party in the Feywild continued to speak with Alistar, making plans, talking about what they may use to bind Zazriel as they head back through the portal, unsure what to expect. They decide that they would use a card from the Taroka deck, and that as they entered through the portal, Livy would use his knowledge of celestial language to try and speak with Zazriel, while Morgus investigates the magic at the bottom of the pit, and the rest of the party prepares for a potential battle. This is where we find the party.
Portal, and it's very dark in here. There is not a torch lit, but you hear rustling and deep voiced murmurs across the arena. Even those of you with dark vision, it's out of your sight.
Just nudges Livy.
Godfrey just puts a hand on and says, "You've got this. I believe in you." And Godfrey will cast guidance.
All right. Olivia walks forward.
Are you climbing down into the arena?
Yeah. I'm climbing down into the arena.
Spider walking?
Well, spider walking, yeah. Olivia doesn't climb.
You, with your dark vision, see the cracks in the earth that remain in the arena as you kind of try and meander your way closer, and slowly the form, as you get to about 60 feet away from the opposite side of the arena, you see the Felidar. And you see a maybe a little bit larger than Goliath-sized humanoid being wrapped in, like, rags of cloth, sort of tightening some of the armor on the Felidar and murmuring under their breath to it. The Felidar just whips its head and just stares at you, Livy.
So, we can't leave.
Then you're here to fight?
I would rather not fight. I would rather everyone who was trapped here over the years just be allowed to leave. We have these symbols on our feet that prevent us from escape, from leaving this realm.
A brand.
Yes. Do you have the power to take them off?
His long silence, see, walks to the other side of the Felidar. The Felidar kind of shaking his mane. You hear the rattle of metal. The rest of the party hears that on the other side as well, loud and cacophonous through this large coliseum.
Godfrey will drop down to be next to Livy.
Okay.
Morgus is going to follow to make sure I'm within 30 feet of Livy.
Okay.
Scylla's also going to drop down and stick close by, but not appear any sort of threatening. I'm not pulling any kind of blades or anything.
Close by to where you were previously, or close by to Livy?
To Livy.
Well, everyone else has dropped down. I'm going to drop down and start looking at cracks, because that seems like something I would do.
Okay. Start looking in cracks. Give me a perception or investigation. Ziba.
Good. Both crack.
Which one's a more crack?
Hey! They're equally crap, but it is a 19 on the die for an 18.
I think you spot the ring pretty straight away. It's about 10 foot down and stuck on like a little jagged outcropping of rock. The outcropping looks to be like maybe a foot wide.
Oh, perfect. Can I nod to the Garrett guys? I feel like we're friends now, and be like, yo, grab my ankle. Right there.
I think Garrett Caius, unfortunately, is very focused on Godfrey.
Garrett Caius!
He is a dog with a
jaw. He's a sentient being, kinda.
You think he probably looks at you, and then looks at Godfrey, and then looks back at you, then pads Fine. Over to Godfrey.
Can I stab my own pant leg, if I have any left, into the ground?
Do I see this happen? Am I aware of this? Because I feel like I'm further away from Livy, so I'm probably relatively close to Ziba.
Yeah, I think as you, like, Ziba starts, like, talking to Garrett Caius, trying to get him to come, you definitely hear that, Morgus. And
this was, like, mid going to stab her own pant leg.
Do I know if I can summon, Bitsy?
You can, yeah.
Yeah. Can I, like, subtly try to summon Bitsy down there to grab
it's
it
shiny.
And bring it up to Ziba?
It's shiny.
If you're trying to be stealthy with anything, I'll definitely need you to make a sleight of hand check or a stealth check.
I've not been stealthy. I'm clearly laying on the edge of a crack here.
You know what? Since Ziba's not being stealthy, I'm just... gonna summon her to go down, get it, and bring it up.
Yeah. As this humanoid is tightening the armor on the other side of the Felidar, Livy, you see a head whip in the direction of Morgus and Ziba.
It's so pretty!
Did you lose something?
Yeah, haven't you? My memory is terrible.
Is that yours?
No, but it's shiny. Oh, is it yours? Sorry, I didn't know, but I'm gonna find his keepers. You left it in a crack.
It's not mine.
Oh, do you have a lost and found?
Lost things should be left where they are to be found again. By those who lost them.
I found it. If we keep waiting for the same person, some things are never going to get picked up and we don't trash everywhere.
Just stairs.
But back on, could you release everyone who has these marks?
Why?
You said we could leave. Wait, is he speaking common? He was to me, right?
No.
Did I understand a word he was saying, though?
Mm-mm.
Okay, that whole conversation did not happen.
Yeah.
See, we rewind that for a second.
I was about to interject and ask, but
that's why Morgus wasn't speaking up.
I forgot to. Can I just assume Livy was straight translating there?
Yeah, we can assume that.
Okay.
Listen, why not? What benefit does having a symphony of miserable people who just want to go home? What benefit does that give you? You are free. Why not grant us the same freedom we granted you?
The freedom you grant me was an accident. You don't grant me freedom at all. In regards to the other people, they'll make more.
They'll make more? What do you mean?
Never growing population. A few gone. To populate a new realm isn't so bad.
But these people have lives, families. They don't want to be here.
Did they say they didn't want to be here?
Yes, very explicitly.
I've never heard it.
And the deep gnome has never seen the sun. That does not mean the sun does not exist. These people have been, for years, competing in rigged competitions just for a chance to go home. They are begging to be released.
They are following their dreams.
They are being strung around by their nightmares. That is not the same thing.
Their dream to be the best dueler, the most famous bard, the most highly regarded poet, the dagger-throwing champion. These were dreams. They lived them. Every
day. They were dreams. Now they are nightmares. They are isolated events that only have one thing. The reason people have these dreams isn't just to get the thing. I don't dream of being a better musician just because being a musician is nice.
Nightmare. I do not know this word.
A nightmare is a dream you want to escape from. It's not a happy experience. It doesn't make you feel good. These people who are here aren't experiencing things they like. They're experiencing things that they used to value, twisted and turned into something they can no longer recognize.
I do not understand.
What do you value? Just name anything. This is only as an example.
You could not comprehend.
Your companion, do you value them?
Sasha is my mount.
What if Sasha could no longer be your mount?
That is impossible.
And yet, that is what nightmares are. They make the impossible possible. Every day. every night, potentially. Now imagine experiencing an impossibly terrible thing every day and being unable to escape it. Imagine never being able to be with Sasha again, or watching as someone else uses her and mistreats her, and just not being able to do anything about it. That's what's happening to them right now.
Give me a persuasion check.
Okay. Plus 1d4.
If you rule that it has not been longer than a minute.
I am wearing the ring now.
For dedication?
Well, Godfrey gave me 18 plus 1d4.
I gave guidance before we dropped down into the middle. But
it's definitely been more than a minute.
Unfortunately, guidance fell off.
Morgus is within 30 feet.
I'd like to now hold my 21. Action to cast Claw.
Hold your action to cast Claws?
Yep. And if things turn ugly.
Wait, sorry, what was your result, Livy?
21.
Before we move forward, let me just read something super quick to myself. Okay, so I can make my decision after I see whether it succeeds or fails. Sorry.
What were you deciding?
I have two uses of Chronal Shift.
Mm.
So, the 21?
Yeah, I rolled an 8.
Yeah, Morgus is going to use a Chronal Shift on this to allow for a reroll. But you must use the second result. So if you don't want me to, Ed, I won't do it.
Well, do we know if it succeeds or fails?
I don't know if we know that yet. Let me just say it's an option for you, Ed, that Morgus can do this.
I'm going to stick with my guns.
Okay.
21's okay. 20's pretty good.
Who created this nightmare? You can see his expression has gone from general dismissal and whatever to sadness and pain. And these large white wings spread out behind him and kind of ruffle a little bit.
We were told you were accidentally bringing people here when you were locked away.
The party. I created the party. A celebration of fulfillment of dreams. We did not create this nightmare.
Sometimes, even the sweetest fruit can sour. For people who cannot leave, this has become a nightmare.
There is no not leaving the party.
You cannot give people the option on whether to stay or go?
The option has always been.
I don't think people know how to leave.
Something has changed.
Can I don't mean to interrupt. Can I have Morgus, like, listening to this conversation? Can I have him thinking about something?
Yeah.
Really quick?
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about the ring and how Erudi was siphoning the power of dreams. And I think about, like, whether or not Erudi might be the result of, like, the confinement.
In terms of, like, his existence or his power?
Like, yeah, whether or not, like, Erudi was, like changed that dreamscape to confine people here or not.
Yeah. Give me an insight or intelligence plus proficiency. Okay. All of you can see and hear the tone of the conversation. You may not understand what's happening, but I think you all have basic insight enough to see that Zazriel is becoming visibly upset. And Morgus, you infer, based on your line of reasoning, Rudy would have had the power to change whatever the fuck he wanted while he had the ring.
I think knowing that, Morgus is just going to softly say, Livy, I think Rudy was the one that made the nightmare. I think Rudy was the one who was keeping these people here. Twisted the creation for his own ends.
In Celestial, in common, Livy says, I am not surprised that son of a... In Celestial, he says, we think the Erudi, the person who kept you here, changed your dreamscape to this nightmare and kept everyone here. Is it possible for you to change it so that people can go home of their own volition?
I need to see this. He goes from petting Sasha kind of absentmindedly to a little flitter of the wing floating above and then sitting on top of. I need to learn of this corruption.
Well, make sure you talk to people who aren't satyrs. If it's Libby's translating.
Satyrs, my friend said, make sure to talk to the people who aren't satyrs. Satyrs are the only people who can go home.
That never was. You hear a growl from Zazriel and an echoing roar from Sasha as they will begin to run and try and jump over the cracks toward the exit tunnel that you all had originally come in, unless someone wants to try to stop them or do anything else.
Can I go with?
Yeah, I want to go with. I open, yeah. I don't want to stop them. I want to go with them. Is it possible for me to do Dimension Door to the beginning of the labyrinth?
No, that's only 30 feet, and you have to be able to see it.
Dimension Door is 500 feet, and you don't have to be able to see it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you don't have to be able to see it. It's 500 feet.
Misty Step is 30 feet.
Yeah. It might crush anyone who is underneath it.
I think you can probably dimension door after him. You can take someone with you. If it's 500 feet and not somewhere you have to see, you probably make it to like the entrance of the rolling rock tunnel with all the statues and the fire.
Okay, who wants to go with Livy? He can take one person.
I want to go, but I'm not sure I'm the best person.
I mean, do you think you'll need help?
Just in case.
It's for the fire.
I can go alone, if you would like.
Not if fucking Mary's still out there.
If no one else is going, I'll go.
I'll go.
Original team.
All right. Scylla said she'd go.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably all go unless you want one of us to sit back.
Well, we can only take one person with us. We could take the long route.
The rest of us could go on foot, or I could take this opportunity to try to understand what's happening in the center.
You and Scylla go. We'll check this out, and then we'll take the long way. We'll meet you there. But I want full details when we meet up. Take notes. You're good at that.
Absolutely.
Sibba.
Hey. What?
As you have this ring, the Bitsy, I assume, dropped in your hand since you said you had it.
I put it on. I said that. I immediately put that thing on.
So you put it on. You see a bright emerald green stone. And it's inlaid in like this twisting silver band so that the emerald is raised a little bit as if it's in like the crux of branches of a tree. And inside it, it says in Dwarven some words. Do you read Dwarven?
No. No! I do not hoard languages. I can speak common and orc.
I think you recognize Dwarven. It's very common. You've definitely
seen it. I probably recognize it. Can I read it? No.
Do you show it to Morgus?
Well, he did help me get it, so I'll be like, look at the shiny cool ring I got! Puts it on the finger.
Wait. Hold on. Hey, can I just take a look at that, please?
Okay, but finders keepers, alright? Everyone keeps trying to take the ring from me.
No, I'm not trying to take it away from you, but it'll help me understand the...
Okay, give it back.
In the center.
Hand it off to Morgus for a sec.
The inside is very cryptic. They seem to be arcane in nature, but it just sounds like gibberish. You know, like it doesn't form full words. It's just symbols and shapes and alphabet characters.
Seem like a formula of some kind?
It does. Okay. Give me an arcana check.
Can do. I'm going to... Morgus is like seeing that, he's immediately gonna start looking around. It's like, okay, that's that formula. I'm gonna start also looking around the room at the center to see, like, these things are connected. I already know that.
Hey, so don't take my ring. His
process is going. I just need to walk around with it, Zibba.
I found it first.
14.
Okay. You begin to realize as you look at this that this ring. Yes, was made for Arudi to hold the magic of dreams. But the dwarvish runes on the inside seem to be something different. It is binding magic of a different kind. It's newer. And it seems to be reminiscent of the type of runic symbology and arcane language that you remember seeing on Gilda's arrow.
Gilda's arrow?
Galdi's arrow. God, I can't do the names tonight.
Sorry. I was like, the healer had an arrow? Okay, Galdi's arrow. And Galdi's arrow, she... Can you refresh me super quick? I remember the arrow. What did she use the arrow for?
When laid at the feet of the statue of Galdi, brought Galdi back to life.
Oh.
Can I have back?
Hang on.
If Morgus then pulls out any information on the gods, or remembers any information about the gods, you would note that Argos is a dwarf.
We need to talk to Argos. At some point, this is...
All right, well, we got to get out of here first.
Yes, let's go.
Sticks the hand out.
Let's go.
Doesn't move.
Don't put this on. Just keep it safe, all right? For now.
Okay, I'll keep it safe. By wearing it.
Zeba, don't put it on. Please.
That's the safest place. I'm not going to lose it if it's on my finger. Unless I lose my finger, and then I think I have a big problem.
It's really tight. It starts to like kind of cut off circulation to the top of your finger.
Put it on the top of my pinky. Why is it so small? That was a big guy.
Big guy. Tiny hands.
Why is it so small?
Very dainty.
I have questions.
Godfrey, what are you doing? There's no light in here, so. I don't know if you can see very well, but...
Hello? Livy? Hello?
Hello?
Godfrey, follow the voice, but take a step to your right or you're gonna fall in a crack.
Morgus will, grab maybe... Is there a branch from a vine or a plant or something around here?
There's like the dead detritus, is that the right word, of the vine are hanging around that you could use as like a little bit of a rope to get to the bottom of the pit if that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get down and... Or, sorry, no. I'm just going to take out a torch and light a torch with control flame for Godfrey.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
Lights up. You just see the skull mask.
That is mildly unsettling.
You gonna go take a look then?
I took a look and I think that there's more going on to this than I initially understood.
Morgus will explain kind of some of what he understood.
We will eventually need to talk to Argos.
But I think we could just reasonably assume that this ring is what Arudi was bound into when all of the other gods were bound. But did you figure anything out about what's happening in the hole?
I can?
How come then the whole time we were carrying that arrow around, we never got magic powers?
Multipurpose.
It works like that. I'm gonna go investigate hole in the center next.
Climb down.
Yeah.
But give me an Arcana check to see how long it takes you.
Okay. Sure. That is a natural 20 for a 27.
Whoa. It takes like 10 minutes. But before we go into that, is Godfrey doing anything?
Sure hope Livy and Scylla didn't activate another boulder trap.
Ha ha! You can see his Indiana Jones booking it down the corridor. Not again!
Somehow the boulder is chasing them up the stairs.
Some of the fucking boulders in Elden Ring.
Dang, this door's really hard to open. It's almost like there's a giant boulder.
You do, Scylla and Livy, you dimension door. And as you do, you see Zazriel leaning up to one of the statues, placing a hand and muttering some strange language words that's not celestial. And you see one of the statues just disintegrate and fall away in a swirl of magic. And then just an opening of like the glen. You can smell the forest and the night air from there, and the lion just bounds through.
The forest where we were, or like the dream, still the dream forest.
The dream forest.
Yeah, okay, just making sure we can go in there without dying.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's. That was weird. Let's go after him.
All right, you begin running after this large lion. It's difficult to keep up. But as you get back into the Dream Glen and you're chasing after them, you give me both perception checks.
Oh boy, I'm really good at these. Well, I'm not terrible. I have a... I still have 1d4 because of your thing, right?
Not on checks. Just saves.
A 15.
Okay. That's enough to begin to notice the nightmare shepherds that are always in the sky seem to be taking note of this new thing. And pointing down and rallying. And it's not long, maybe like a minute into chasing after Zazriel and Sasha, that you hear a very odd croaking sound that is very loud. You just deduce that this may be some sort of like war horn sound or a signal type of a sound that's being alarmed out around you. It's very strange. It's like a croaking, weird sound.
Livy's gonna call out. I think they're calling a war horn on all of us. And he says this in common and celestial.
Who's calling a war horn on us?
He looks up. He points up. The nightmare shepherds, and whatever else.
Oh, good.
But I don't think it's at us. I think it's mostly at him.
I wonder if that means Rudy's back to health.
If magical death twink was right, then he should be at his house with Medusa.
Continue running. It's not long before Sasha kind of like side slides on her paws into the circle of the clearing. You can see nothing, but it's clear that Zazriel sees something as he looks around.
Zazriel, what do you see?
He whips his head back to you. It's just a party.
What are you talking about? I don't see anything. There's nothing.
Why is there only one race here?
The satyrs say that this party has always just been for the satyrs, and any unwilling to find themselves here are trapped forever.
This party is for all.
Not under a Rudy.
Looks around some more. They don't see I don't see. Looks just past you, Scylla. You see, as you follow his gaze, Carling's mother kind of stumbling up behind you. Have you seen my daughter? Have you? Carling?
Scylla will kind of offer arms out to her. We know where she is. She's safe. We're going to get you home to her.
Sazriel looks at Livy. She is weak.
She's been here for a very long time.
Scylla grabs onto her.
She's looking for her daughter.
She is in a nightmare?
Yes.
What madness. Who would do this? He shoots his hand up into the air. You watch as this beam of goldenish red flame-like light is a straight pillar up into the sky. Kind of rains down like fireflies, slowly swooshing. All of you feel a tickle in the bottoms of your feet. Bottoms of your feet. The bottom of your feet.
It's gone.
At that moment, you hear Livy from across the clearing. Someone in a deep voice scream, "No!" As the large form of Minotaur Arudi comes thundering through the trail to the cabin into the clearing. As the fireflies rain down, you and Scylla and Carling are able, or not Carling, Carling's mom are able to see all the satyrs. There's probably 300 of them in this clearing. There are plates of food and a stage for performers and beds and cots laid out everywhere. There's burning fires, overwhelming amounts of wine and children and families and all different types of people just enjoying themselves. There's no sadness. There's no fear. There's no corruption. There's no having been here for too long.
It's beautiful. I can understand why you were confused at my question if you made something like this.
Sazriel doesn't look back at you. His gaze seems to be purely on Arudi. And with that, we'll go back to the other group. You quickly begin to understand this magic, possibly how to recreate it. It's complicated. You feel like you may need a little more oomph or understanding to be able to cast it on your own. It's a very intricate and powerful planar binding spell.
will share the information that I learn about that.
Does that mean you think you found everything you're looking for? Because I can't keep cleaning this black ick off of everything. I mean, I would be here at attorney and I'd rather fight.
I have a better understanding. So if... Well, let's go. I don't think I'm going to get more from here.
No, thank you.
All right.
Which way to come in again?
You all make your way to the tunnel running through the cell, the room of cells where you fought the wraiths, and through to the rock tunnel where you see the same statue with a gleaming portal that you can run through. You see the glen on the other side. You see the fireflies falling from the sky and your friends and all the satyrs and Arudi and Zazriel standing above them all.
That took a lot less
facing
time.
Facing each other. That is it. Thank you so much for listening. Almost the end of the Nightmare King dream arc. Super stoked for y'all to hear how this ends. If you like what you're hearing, like, subscribe, support, do all the things. Maybe tune in tomorrow. Our live stream season one finale of But Then What will be happening over on our YouTube channel. It's always a fun time on that show. We have some up and coming one-time adventures, one being a dating game show we're super stoked about coming this spring, others on the hush hush. If you'd like to work with us, feel free to reach out. It's Autumn Moon Studios with an S at gmail.com. We're always looking for more shows, more things to do, all the fun and exciting bits. If you want to learn more about the NPCs of this world, check out We May Not All Be Heroes. Carling's mom, Ella, actually has a story in the book, and it's a fun one. Thank you so much. Intro and outro by Nolan Clock. Everything else by myself and the cast. I hope you have a really great day.